Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting. Believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second reading is going to be read by Pauline Standen from here in church. Thank you, Pauline. Leaping up to the lectern.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. The apostles persecuted. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray for Helen as she comes to speak. Father, we bless you and thank you for your presence with us. And we ask that you would be with Helen as she speaks today, and indeed with each of us as we hear Helen speak and as we hear you speak through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ian's just handed me R.T. Kendall's pulpit prayer this morning, so I thought I would read that first. May God be pleased to bless, that's put his seal upon, the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word. A brief word of prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, may the blood of Jesus be sprinkled upon every person, upon every mind in this place, that their perception of what I say may be heard, received, and applied as you intend. Let our thinking may be clear. Cleanse my tongue that I may be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. Enable me to preach this as though it were the first time. Help me to be very simple and very clear. May this word be life-changing, that literally every person here will never be the same again. And may it bring honour and glory to your name. A lovely prayer. I've called this talk Seeing Jesus. Years ago, we used to sing this song, "Open my eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus." It occurred to me reading these passages that the real faith journey for the early disciples began when they saw and encountered the risen Lord Jesus. Initially, Thomas was not with them and did not believe, and for that he was given the rather unfair nickname, Doubting Thomas. Jesus did not rebuke him for doubting, however. He allowed Thomas time to touch him, and merely said in verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Those who have not seen, of course, includes us. We are counted blessed. I realized that on my own faith journey along the road of resurrection life, how often I take my eyes off Jesus and do not appreciate how blessed I am. I suspect I'm not alone. Recently, I heard a story from a pastor in Singapore that made me stop and think. He and his wife, for a long time, had longed to have children. And he had prayed, and they'd both prayed about it. And he said, "It became more difficult for me because I'm a pastor. Many people bring their babies to me to have them blessed. And so I would be blessing their babies, but in my heart, I would be miserable." And I sensed God saying to me one day, "Andrew, why are you not rejoicing with all these people who come to have their babies blessed?" And he said, "Well, it's really difficult, Lord, because I really want a baby, and it's not, and you haven't allowed that." So the next time, a couple came along, and they asked him to pray with them that they might have a baby. And he thought, "Oh, I can do this. I'm good at this prayer. I've prayed it a lot." So he prayed that for them. And a few months later, they came and told him that they were having a child. And he felt deep down inside sadness, but he had remembered about rejoicing. So he rejoiced with them. And he said, "I determined that I would refocus and rejoice and trust Jesus." And 6 years later, he said, "We had twins, and now we have three children." But the thing for him was the refocus. And it made me realize that when I open my eyes and see Jesus, it causes me to take my eyes off myself, my problems, my wants, my desires, my needs, my fears, my expectations, and focus on him. And as I do so, I'm filled with an overwhelming desire to thank him for all that he is and has done and is doing, and my gaze is refocused outwards and towards the needs of others. Our second reading fast forwards to a glimpse of the apostles after Jesus had ascended to heaven and after they had obeyed his command and received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They are now bold and fearless as they seek to make Jesus known, to perform signs and wonders in his name, and to advance the kingdom of God. I was reminded that Jesus promised always to be with us. At the end of Jesus' Great Commission in Matthew 8:20, he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I'm a prayer minister for Christian Healing Mission and facilitate a small group weekly during encounter prayer sessions. Last week, John Ryland was talking about this verse and said that the first disciples, this was a very powerful, reassuring message for them, because they knew what his actual presence was like and what happened when he was around. John Ryland said, "Can we catch their attitude? Always also means now. He is still here." There was an Indian lady in our group for whom English was a second language. And she said, "I'd never realized before that always also means now. I thought it was sometime in the future, something that would happen then." And do you know, it struck me, I thought, well, I'm probably the same. I don't see it as now. And John Ryland encouraged us to repeat, "Jesus, you are with me now." And he encouraged us to do it as a breath prayer. So breathe in on "Jesus, you are with me," and out on "now." And he said, if you're in a situation where things are difficult, where things seem to be piling upon you, he said, start, take a moment. "Jesus, you are with me now." John 5:17 says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." This sense of Jesus' presence led me to hear him afresh. "Don't you realize that I and my Father are always with you, working to help you and for your good? Look at times in your life where you have been amazed by coincidence. Open your eyes and see." That caused me to reflect on two times recently. During the last hurricane, Eunice, a lot of trees were coming down all around, and it had been a very windy night. And I looked out of the window the next day, and I thought, well, it looks very light out there. And I don't know what made me go out in the garden. It's only a small garden. I don't know what made me go out in the garden to have a look around. I thought, maybe I'm going to see something that's happened in somebody else's garden. I don't know. Anyway, as I walked around, I came around to the back. We've only got one old tree. It was lovely. And we had a swing hanging off it. And it was an old tree. And I noticed with horror that up the back of the whole trunk of this tree, it had completely split. And the thing was waving and creaking around in the window, and branches were resting on a wall. But of course, it had shifted right over, and it was nice and light in the garden, still with this tree, looking from all intents and purposes from the house, intact. So I said, we'd better get in the tree people rather urgently. And it just so happened that he had a cancellation, and it so happened that he could come round even though we were out. And by the time we got back, he had taken down the whole tree, and he said it was really dangerous. It was about to go. And as soon as we took off some of the branches on the top, the whole thing swayed, and we had to run a couple of times in case it fell on us. And it could either have fallen on the neighbour's conservatory or else on our bungalow roof. I mean, both doing damage. I thought, all of those things, this just happened, and this just happened, and this just happened. And the other thing that I was thinking about also was, back in February, it was my birthday, and my husband said, "Well, I'll take you to the festival hall to hear a concert." It was one that he particularly wanted to hear, but it was my birthday treat, and I loved sitting there in the Royal Festival Hall anyway. And we were going up to London, we were going to stay the night, and I persuaded my husband it was a good idea to take a backpack, and I was marching forward, and at this point I was carrying this backpack. And we set off from Liverpool Street to station. It was cold, it was early Saturday morning, walking down Old Broad Street, nobody around, and suddenly I tripped. And it was so sudden, I was flat on my face, and I could still feel the thud and the cold London pavement on my face. And I thought, as I lay there, I have just landed on my face. So I lay there for a while, and Roger said, "You didn't move." I said, I was assessing the damage, because I thought, are all my teeth here. So I was running my tongue around my, and they were all there. And I thought, well, I sort of thought, well, everything else is all right, so I think I'll get up. And of course, that's easier said than done when you've just sort of done something like that. So yeah, but and so the next thing, I must have fainted, I don't know, I just heard him talking to someone who had come along, and the person who came along just happened to be a GP. And they gave me a complete check over, and I was all right. And she said, you know, this is all a little bit nasty here, but if you could get some ice put on it or something. And she said, you may have fractured your cheekbone, so if that starts hurting you later. So it was all on that side. It looked awful, but in the days of masks, it didn't really matter. And Roger said, I think we need to go home. But I said, oh no, I think we need to see the concert. So it just so happened there was a cafe there where he could buy me a hot cup of tea. And it just so happened that we were by the bus stop, so we could now get a bus to the South Bank. And it just so happened that the bus that was waiting there was the right number and we could get straight on it. And all these things, and this didn't really hurt at all. And I'd bitten right through the top upper lip, which had actually protected my teeth. But behind the mask, all this could be like it was. I mean, it came up, as you know, bruises do, all black and blue and everything, but it healed really quickly. And there isn't, as far as I know, any damage. And my teeth were intact, and I could sit in the concert with a mask on and enjoy the music. And I just, these occasions, it reminded me of the passage in 2 Kings 6:17, where Elisha wants his servant to be unafraid of the approaching enemy. And he says, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Recollection of these moments in our lives, in themselves, are life-giving and remind me that we are living resurrection life, helped and protected. Once again, I'm filled with an overwhelming desire to thank God for all that he is and has done and is doing. And my gaze is focused outwards towards the needs of others. In the final verse of John's Gospel in our first reading, he says in verse 31, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We too, on our spiritual journey of resurrection life, have the assurance of Jesus with us now and always, and the witness and power of the Holy Spirit within us to fulfill the individual calling he has on each of our lives. So I ask Jesus, where in my life do I need my eyes opened to see the Lord today? So let us pray. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Holy Spirit, overflow in me that I may have the grace to walk in the fullness of the true blessing of resurrection life, knowing your presence with me, seeing you at work, rejoicing in gratitude and flowing out in love and compassion and service to others. In Jesus' name, amen.